Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Maluleke.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Zamini Maloten. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Lovely, lovely. Great to have you on the show this afternoon. I do hope that your day has been good.
My day has been good. Yeah, it's been a productive and fruitful day so far.
Lovely, lovely. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the line when, we are discussing these things. We also do have a privilege of being listened by you out there, tuning in and listening to the good news. I call it the good news because these are the discussions that may help us to actually be even much more closer to God than we were a week ago. Now, we're talking this week about practicing faith in a secular world with Pastor Maluleke. So if you missed the couple of discussions we've had, please do not make sure that you do not miss this one, and of course tomorrow. Now, in Acts 17, we see how Paul related to his prevailing culture when he spoke at the Areopagus in Athens. He recognizes that he's in a place that believes in gods and not in God of Abraham, Isaac, Jesus. He has the capacity to show unusual respect for beliefs different from his own, and he understands them with enough depth and complexity to use them as he makes his points. And people responded to Paul's words in three ways. Some sneered, some had questions, some became believers. And as we bear faithful witness to God, we'll likely have similar results. Now, Pastor, how can individuals with different belief systems coexist peacefully and respectfully?
The first thing is to have respect for people as human beings, as individuals. People have rights, and even in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, you know, individuals have rights, and one of those rights is the right to freedom of religion or belief or opinion. We need to respect that, and it's good for everybody. You know, that the separation of state and religion and human beings as individuals have rights. So we need to respect human beings as individuals who have the right to dignity, equality, and mutual respect. And so we'll be able to coexist with them. And ours is simply to be honest and true to our own religion, our own belief, and our own opinions, to live consistent with what we believe in, and conduct and behave ourselves accordingly. And understand that other people also have the same right. We don't need to disrespect them or look down upon them because they believe differently. So I've lived in Korea as well, where the dominating religion is the religions are Christianity and Buddhism. In the workplace and in many public spaces, religion will not be made a basis of looking down upon those who have a different religion. So everyone is free to practice their religion. And I think also in the South African context, if the government leads in terms of embracing and giving different religions and equal space and airtime, so in South Africa, the environment is conducive to actually living peacefully and respectfully, even with different belief systems. So when the government leads, it helps even churches to understand that everyone has a right to freedom of religion. So Joseph was able to live with people of a different religion. Daniel was able to do that without necessarily looking down upon the Egyptian or the Babylonian religion. But when he was forced to disobey God's laws, then he would have to choose. And that's where Peter also says in the New Testament, is it Acts chapter 5, verse 39, we ought to obey God rather than men. But otherwise, we live peacefully and respectfully with the people around us.
Mm. How can one engage in a meaningful dialogue about faith and secularism? Can it even be meaningful?
Yes, I think from an academic perspective, of course, academic, sometimes, you know, when intellectuals or academics lead discussions through articles or papers that they write, then they start, you know, the debate and the discussions around these subjects. I've read papers based on preaching to postmoderns or living our faith in a postmodern world. They are very eye-opening, you know. So we can look at faith as a boat or a ship, and we can look at secularism as an ocean in which the boat sails, or the ocean in which we fish. So to understand, so our faith is the boat we ride, and the secularism is the environment in which we live. We can have meaningful discussions in the academic arena, in our churches, so that we can, you know, empower each other in terms of how to navigate the ocean in which we fish. We can use media such as radio, TV, the internet, to voice, to have meaningful discussions mm-hmm. around the challenges that we face, or the impact, you know, of faith in a secular environment, because it is normal, a boat, not for the water to be inside the boat, because then it will begin to sink. So we need to have these discussions so that we know that we are in a boat that is led by Jesus, just like Noah was in a boat that he had built for 120 years and it didn't sink, you know, because it was led by God. So meaningful discussions can be had at, I think usually the academic sector leads, and we also familiarize ourselves with the latest articles or papers or even books if they are produced. That tends or leads us to have meaningful discussions based on people who have done thorough research on these subjects.
Man, now, is it ever acceptable to agree to disagree with those who don't believe in God? Or is it our duty to convince the world to accept that Christ is King? Is it defeatist to avoid religious debates? I know I've asked a few questions.
Yes. It is acceptable to agree to disagree, because like we said, we live in a secular environment where people have their own individual rights. They have the freedom to religion, belief, and opinion, and we can't force them to agree. So we have to agree to disagree with them to show them respect. Is it our duty to convince the world that Christ is King? Yes, it is our duty to convince. It is the Holy Spirit's duty to convict. To convince is not to force. It is simply to persuade, you know, sometimes logically through our lifestyle. You know, and also it is imperative that I make Christ King in my life, because it's one thing to be shouting Christ is King, Christ is King. I myself have not made him a ruler and a master and a Lord of my own life. So we need to convince the world by showing that Christ lives in us, that our lives have been transformed by this Christ that we are talking about, that our speech, our conduct, our attitudes have been changed and transformed. We love people even though they are unlovable. Is it defeatist to avoid religious debates? Sometimes debating or arguing or it's not always the best way to win someone. So there are various ways when we study missiology that we have observed that people to another. That's what we call religions or the power dynamics. So people sometimes change because of who is a prominent figure in the society or in the community. So, for example, in India and many Asian countries, once the prominent figure, whether a political figure or a king or a chief of a particular village, changes their religion, then the subjects usually follow. We call that allegiance. So some people change not because they were convinced logically, but because the prominent figure has changed. And that happens in many African countries, in many Asian countries, where people are converted in big numbers. So we need to balance that. Now, number one is allegiance. Number two is affect. People change sometimes because of how they feel about something, not necessarily because of logical reasoning. You may find that actually a cognitive approach that employs logical reasoning may be the least effective method. So we need to check and mix our approaches in terms of convincing people that Christ is the king. It is not always going to be effective to argue or to debate. But if there's a need to debate, let's do it. But let's not think it is the sole primary method of winning souls to Christ. So we need to preach in the marketplace, in our community, in our digital media spaces, that Christ is king, and provide good reasons for that, to persuade them, to convince people. But that's not the only way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with you. Now, should we avoid involvement with secular society at all? I know that quite a number of people do avoid this, interacting and being involved in secular society. Or does God expect us to mingle with unbelievers at all?
Yeah, let me start by saying Christ himself left heaven to come to earth in order to save us. Earth was not too sinful and dirty for him to leave heaven, because he was on a mission of saving us. So if we think missiology is about leaving your comfort zone to go and mingle with those that you want to save, you know, Jesus says we must be the salt of the earth, and the salt must be infused into the food. It must penetrate and be absorbed and assimilated into the food in order for it to make a difference in terms of taste, so that it can be effective in terms of preserving the food. So we need to interact with those that we want saved. You know, John 17, Jesus, when Jesus prays for his disciples, he says they are not of the world, but they are in the world. We are not of the world, but we are in the world, because Jesus wants us to be here. We need to take the Great Commission, you know, the gospel, to all the areas of the world, and then Christ will come. Matthew 24 verse 14, the gospel, this gospel must be taken to all the world, and then Christ will come. So somebody makes a statement and says, we need to be different enough from people who have different beliefs from us that we may be able to teach them, but we must be similar enough to them that we may be able to reach them. We reach people where they are. That means we have to be where they are in order for us to lead them where we want them to be. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to this earth where we are in order to take us up to where he now is. And when he leaves in Job chapter 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare for you. And then where I am going, I will come back again and take you to be there. But he first had to come to be where we are. So God does not expect us to be hermit monks who live in isolated places, away from the people that we seek to save. John the Baptist spent most of his time in the wilderness praying, connecting with God, but then he would go into the community and preach, and people responded to his preaching. So we need to live our lives between the mountain and the multitude. The mountain, that's where we pray. We connect with God. We gather strength. We inform ourselves. We refresh ourselves. We re-energize ourselves. And then we go back to the multitude to serve. That is the balance.
Yeah,
that is sought.
It's a beautiful balance. Now, lastly, before I let you go, Pastor, how can one engage in a meaningful dialogue about faith and secularism? I suppose this question is because many just find it exacerbating and intimidating. Some find it as just a pointless exercise and just keep their faith and walk by their faith. But how can we really engage in a meaningful dialogue about faith and secularism?
Yes, that question had repeated itself on the list of questions that you had given me. That was the second question that you asked. I had responded to it. We had already responded to that question.
Yes, now I remember. Yeah, do apologize for that. Man, Pastor, I must then let you go. But before I let you go, as we live in a secular world, we do meet people of, different kinds, believing in different things, etc., because it's a secular world. We tend to believe as Christians that ours is superior more than all of these. Is this the right attitude to carry around with us?
Christ himself never minced his words when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." Mm-hmm. You know, so we can't be saying, pluralistically that all religions are fine. The word religion means, in English, when we say replay, we mean play again. It's like repeat. Now, that means religion. Religion, in English, we have words like ligaments. So ligaments connect, joints, around the knee, around the ankles, around the, hip bone. We have ligaments there. The word religion simply means to be connected again. Now, God has always, he wants us to be connected through Christ. From the beginning, he says to Cain and Abel, "This is the way I want you to connect to me." Cain does the right thing. Abel does the right thing, and Cain does not. God never accepted Cain's sacrifice, because religion is a way of connecting to him, and he defines and describes a way to connect to him. So we cannot be devising a way to connect to God that he does not approve. It will not take us. It will not reconnect us. It will be a religion that is reconnecting us, but not to our original source. So when you get to chapter 11 of Genesis, they are building a tower there that will reach the heavens because they think that tower is going to reconnect them to God. But God does not want that kind of reconnection. So, John chapter 4, he's having a conversation with the Samaritan woman. He says, the Samaritan woman says, we worship, you Jews say we must worship in Jerusalem, but we worship on this mountain, Gerizim, because it's a mountain that our fathers approved. And Jesus says, you do not know anything about religion. The religion is of the Jews. And he did not try to accommodate, but he had a decent conversation with the woman, and at the end the woman knew who the Messiah was and went back to her community to say, "I've met a man today, the Messiah, the Savior." So we don't need to be shy about saying Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Fantastic conversation once again. We'll connect with you one more time tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you for today.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful rest of the show, as usual.
Be blessed. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.